you could see underneath the water. It was huge black mass. It was just monster. It was scary. It was that big.
We looked over top of the trees, and there was this object there out of nowhere. This great big object. It was about 300 foot wide, the size of a football field hanging over your head, and about 300 foot off the ground.
This thing was 10 foot tall. He had beautiful hair.
Hey, what's up?
Hi there.
How's it going?
Going just fine with me. We hope you guys are fine.
Yeah, this is Driving Underground.
Yeah, so welcome to the bunker.
Welcome to the basement.
Yeah, we're here to present you with some weird stuff. Some monsters, maybe, maybe not. Maybe some conspiracy theories. Just whatever's in our case files, our piles
case files,
of files.
Piles of files.
So, I don't have any news this week. So, unless you got something, we could just dive right into what you got.
Yeah, let's just dive right in.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. So, this week, I open the file on... The Fiji Mermaid.
A Fiji Mermaid? That's something from like a sideshow or something, right?
Yeah, it's a freak of nature.
A freak of nature?
Yeah. Fiji Mermaid is like, we know it's not real. Yeah. This isn't like a case file on like, is it a real thing or not? Like, it's a case file on this is fucking weird. What are these people doing sewing monkeys to fish?
Yeah, it's like some flimflam man's just trying to make money off of creating monsters in their garages.
Yeah. And also there's a slight hint of conspiracy theory around what happened to the P.T. Barnum Fiji Mermaid.
Ooh. P.T. Barnum.
Later on.
He's a jerk.
Fuck that guy. But so I have a picture of the Fiji Mermaid. This is what the original P.T. Barnum, you know, popular ass Fiji Mermaid looked like.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've seen plenty of pictures online in shows of like Fiji mermaids.
Yeah, there's probably lots of different ones because tons of different dudes made them.
Yes, it's quite a popular freak show attraction.
Yeah.
But this is the original, the OG Fiji Mermaid.
Ooh, that one's a creepy monkey on top.
Yeah.
Big-headed monkey. Yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah. That one, the mouth is very scary. Don't appreciate it. I wish it would go.
It almost looks like they shrunk the head a little bit, like they kind of dehydrated the head so the mouth looked bigger and more protruding.
Well, it is, you know, mummified dead corpse.
Yeah, I guess that made it look a little weirder.
Yeah, like the skin probably shrinks to the skull. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the around the mouth,
it almost looks like a xenomorph.
Wow. In a way,
like the teeth the way they are.
Yes. So, this abomination against God is usually the top half of a small monkey and the bottom half of a fish sewn together, presented as the mummified remains of a mermaid.
Do they have preference on fish and monkey?
Like, what type?
Yeah.
No, you always ask the most insane question.
Why not?
Like,
especially when we're assembling something. It's like a recipe.
Just every time, it's just like the most specific, insane question.
Why wouldn't you ask questions? I want people to ask questions on my story.
No. I mean, questions are good. It's just, I'll be like, all right, so this is a grilled cheese sandwich. And you'll be like, so what is the sodium level of the cheese? And it's like, why would I put this in my presentation? I didn't even see it in the research.
Well, maybe you may not know the answer, but maybe it may spark another part of conversation. We may start talking about something else. You know, it's all about conversation, baby.
All right.
I think a carp would be a good fish. And a maybe a, yes. a pachucan. Is that what they're called? Pachucan monkeys?
What? Pachucan. I don't know. Pachucan. I've never even heard of that.
Okay. I think that's the kind of monkey that was in Ace Ventura. I think that's what they're called.
Yeah. Okay. If it's the Ace Ventura monkey, it's Ace Ventura monkey sewed onto a carp.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good one.
That would be a good one. Indeed, it would. So the original had fish scales and animal hair superimposed on its body, with pendulous breasts on its chest.
What?
The mouth was wide open with its teeth bared. The right hand was against the right cheek, and the left hand tucked under its lower left jaw.
Yeah, I guess I was wrong to assume its gender. I was just assuming these were boy monkeys.
No, they're mermaids.
Yeah, because they're merman. Because mermans are the dudes, right?
Yeah,
that's right. They got titties, little monkey titties.
Oh my god! So there has been many recreations over the years, as it is a popular freak show attraction. But the original was kept with P.T. Barnum in his museum in New York in 1842. The Fiji mermaid wasn't created by P.T. Barnum, though. Fishermen from Japan and the East Indies had long been stitching the halves of these animals together, mostly for religious ceremonies. The one that ended up in New York...
What?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know what religious ceremony it was, but...
I didn't know... Fishermen had different religions than other people. This sounds like a different religion than I've heard of.
Well, maybe like the fishermen were the ones who made them for everyone.
I understand fishermen having fish.
Yeah.
But why do fishermen just have a bunch of monkeys laying around?
Well, I mean, don't you remember the old classics of, you know, fishermen and their sidekick monkey and...
No.
You know, no. Like how pirate captains have parrots.
That's Pirates of the Caribbean.
And then
that's not real.
Japanese sailors have monkeys.
No. No, that's not real.
That's where they got all their monkeys.
No.
They're sidekicks.
They just got a barrel of monkeys. Yeah. That's what Barrel of Monkeys is from.
It's from...
You take a fish, you stick it to a monkey, and you sell it to a stupid tourist.
Sell to an American tourist.
Stick it to a monkey. This is an assembly line.
Yep. So the one that ended up in New York was purchased from a Japanese fisherman for $6,000. Keep in mind that is... 1840 money.
Let's do that. Well, in 1914, it was $147,914.
That's a lot of money. And then, like, imagine double.
Of course, that's when the Great Depression was happening. I don't know. I don't know.
If you know...
I may cut this from the fucking show.
Science contact.
This was a failure.
But okay, so
you, I didn't know.
For $6,000 by a Samuel Eads in 1822, he brought it was even earlier than that. In 1822, he brought it to London and exhibited it, where it was actually pretty popular. Unfortunately, the British public wasn't as easily fooled, and people examined it, deeming it fake.
Oh, this is bullshit, young man.
This is not a mermaid. You sewed two animals together. I'm going to the newspaper.
Mermaids have much bigger breasts. And much bushier beards.
Oh, my God. So after he died, his son sold the Fiji mermaid to Moses Kimball. Now, Moses Kimball is the one who went and leased it to P.T. Barnum.
What the fuck?
For $12.50 a day to put in his museum.
Whoa.
Barnum had the mermaid examined by a naturalist and was told it was fake, but he really wasn't too concerned with that. Barnum was a far better showman than Eads, and he created a massive hoax around the mermaid. First, he sent fake letters to the newspapers in town. And he was claiming to be people who lived in the South who had seen the mermaid and were astounded with it.
Oh, my God.
And they were like, hey, New York newspaper man. Oh, the Fiji mermaid's so great.
It was the first exhibit he didn't have to beat the shit out of to make it perform.
Boom. Then he sent his fake Dr. Griffin with the Fiji mermaid. With the Fiji mermaid out to draw up curiosity. Instantly, everyone was clamoring to see it. Griffin showed it at Concert Hall on Broadway for a week.
I want to see, like, they just open the concert and it's like, the Fiji mermaid.
And it's just curtains like open a thing up. In a case and they just all look at it. They just stare at it.
You just hear the crickets.
Well, no. This guy, he gave lectures on his adventures while, like, you could see the mermaid.
Okay.
So he's like, yes, I'm a great adventurer. Look at my mermaid. So.
I've also seen half crab, half flamingos. Frightful creatures.
Then they opened the exhibit at Barnum's Museum and ticket sales tripled. The city was raving. We've seen it. What? Why? That mermaid. The mischief you have. Where? What is it? The twin sister to the deuce seduced.
What?
To the deuce-seduced looking thing imaginable. Half fish, half flesh, and taken by and large the most odd of all the oddities earth or sea has ever produced. And that was in... a newspaper in New York.
Why do people think that fish is not flesh? I don't know. I don't understand why some vegetarians eat fish. Just because they said fish is not flesh.
Now I can't stop thinking about fish is flesh.
But yeah, that's fish is that flesh. I love those old-timey like street collars. Come see the old Fiji mermaid.
Yeah.
Half fish, half flesh. Come see it.
Those people would be so hated nowadays.
Oh, they're usually standing outside of Walmarts.
They aren't talking about things they're getting paid to talk about anymore. So unfortunately, Barnum did advertise the mermaid in the papers as being a beautiful woman with bare breasts, which it is not. And this left people horribly disappointed because it's actually very hideous. If you look at the pictures in, like, the paper that where he advertised, it's literally, like, the stereotypical, like, pretty mermaid.
Oh, jeez.
And that's what he advertised it as. And it's that horrifying, withered
fucking
creature.
They got away with so much crazy fake advertising back then.
Like, literally, you could put anything out there, and it could be the complete opposite. And no one could do anything. No one could do anything to you.
No.
So in the end, it is rumored to have been destroyed in one of the many fires that were at his museums. And some...
many fires?
Yeah, there was many fires.
Very careless.
When I read that, I was very concerned.
When your whole life is collections of things...
And then they really keep catching fire.
Invest in some sprinklers or something.
I mean, this was like mid to late 1800s.
Okay, buckets.
I mean, was everything that flammable in his collection?
I don't know. I don't think the Fiji mermaid was made out of oil.
Greasy flammables.
No.
So, some possible Fiji mermaids have popped up, but it is unlikely any of them are the real deal. It is most likely that it was burned in the fire.
That's gross.
Yeah, there's one that I think Harvard has that they claim is real, but it doesn't look anything like...
The pictures.
And they're like, oh, it's from the heat from the fire. And it's like, bitch, it don't look like the Fiji mermaid.
It's just some baby.
Yeah. They just charcoal the baby. This is a Fiji mermaid. I like how awful. I'm making Harvard sound. Hey, this is the Fiji mermaid.
Oh, darn. I think they can take it. Elitists. They'll be okay.
Good. All right. So I guess it doesn't really matter because we know it isn't real, but
yeah.
Violet on real and not real.
No way.
No. It's very badly done.
P.T. Barnum, however, is definitely a monster.
Yeah, he's a real monster in this story.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Let's go. I was looking for another monster to do, and I saw something called the Montauk Monster.
Ooh.
So, in July 2008, an odd entity washed up on the shore of Montauk, New York.
This is pretty recent.
Yeah.
For a sighting that we've had so far.
Yeah, some say it looked like a shaved dog, but it had a weird jaw structure. Some say it looked like a turtle that didn't have a shell on it.
This all sounds horrifying.
I know, right? And scientists couldn't or didn't classify it. I said the didn't.
Because they were like, we're not doing this stupid shit.
And at least two more washed up after this one.
What? The same? Is there pictures?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to show you some pictures.
Oh my God. Like, I have really high expectations right now. Oh my God, Jarrett.
There's one right there. What?
That's a pig.
Right there. There's one right there.
These are all pigs.
Think so?
The other one was for sure a pig.
Okay.
It was like painted terribly.
Okay, I'm just showing you what they've been showing me. Jesus. You think that jaw structure is a pig?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pigs can eat people.
Some people think because that tail's weird.
You just zoomed in on its penis.
You're so dirty. Okay. Here's another one. There's a close-up of the face.
Okay, that kind of looks like a giant guinea pig now.
It looks a little turtle-ish, that one. So, anyways, some people say it looks like a shaved raccoon also. That one doesn't look like a raccoon to me. This one looks like a pig. This was one of the later sightings, like the second time it returned.
You can't even tell what that is. How does it look like anything?
Yeah, it looks a little like it was picked apart by something.
It looks interesting, but I'm not sure.
Either way, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Then after that, a body showed up on shore. The body was of a large white man. And had no, like, there was no sense of any trauma or anything that could have killed him. But there was something very odd about him. He had elongated fingers. There's no pictures of him, though.
Why?
He looked like he was a mutant. He had long fingers. And they were going to do a medical examination of him, and it never was done. His body was taken, and...
How do we even know he exists then? There's no pictures. There's no medical evidence.
It's in newspapers. So this all stems from a very unlikely location. Small island that lies between the coast of New York's Long Island and Connecticut. It's only 3 miles long and a mile wide. It was once the site of Fort Terry, a military installation during the Spanish-American War. And it also was an anti-submarine base in World War II. Some say after World War II, and maybe even during World War II, there were some more sinister actions going on that island. So there's a facility on this island nowadays. And the facility on the island is operated by the United States government. It is officially known as the Plum Island Animal Disease Center of New York, or PIADCNY.
Oh, all right. Fun name.
And
PIADCNY.
This is a United States federal research facility dedicated to the study of animal diseases. The facility is operated by the, it was operated by the United States Department of Agriculture in the beginning. But however, in 2002, the control of the facility was transferred to the Department of Homeland Security. I'm going to start sounding like Alex Jones making the frogs gay. Making the frogs gay. The facility is said to house deadly pathogens such as anthrax, West Nile, and the Rift Valley fever virus, which is the first cousin to the Ebola virus.
I didn't know that diseases could be family.
Yeah, you know, they come down for the holidays. They argue about politics.
They send you cards on your birthday.
Yeah. So this facility just lies within 100 miles of New York City, one of the biggest, most populated areas of the East Coast and the country. Mm-hmm. And it has all these diseases. And they're connecting these creatures to this facility. And these creatures, that this is what made me want to look at this facility. So I'm only talking about these creatures for a little bit. The history of this facility, however, is linked to this guy named Eric Traub, a German virologist. He was a scientist and a veterinarian. Guess what? He was a Nazi.
Oh, great. So, but he was a veterinarian, so he loved animals.
Well, we'll get there. He was a member of the National Socialist Motor Corps from 1938 to 1942, and he worked directly with Heinrich Himmler as the lab chief of the Nazis' leading bioweapons facility on Rimes Island. This is a different island, but after World War II, Traub was snuck out of Europe by America with Operation Paperclip. Of course.
I got you.
The infamous Operation Paperclip. While with the American military, Traub researched the use of insects and pests to spread biological agents. And his whole use of an island to put a facility on the island and to research his biological weapons was also the inspiration for Plum Island. So, yeah, he's the godfather of Plum Island. So it's a Nazi idea. So that's why. That's why I had to bring him up. And also the research into using ticks and mosquitoes to spread bioweapons. Also some of the research that's carried out on Plum Island. So also, it's Nazi ideas on Plum Island, apparently. This is all conspiracy theories.
Oh, man, you really got me in there. And then you had to bring me back out.
Well, some of these are true. Some of these are records, I guess. So, yeah, he is known as the godfather of Plum Island. Fast forward a little bit to Cold War espionage from... See, this thing has everything. It has espionage in the Cold War from the Russians. It's got Nazis. It's got monsters. Yeah, we go to the Cold War. We get some Russian espionage. They notice... They find out that there's multiple levels underneath this facility. They don't find out what's there, but they find out there's multiple basements and tunnels underneath. So what's it for? They say that it's for, researching all the diseases to protect our livestock and things like that. But it's also to research a weapon to destroy those things as well. There is a anti-animal bioweapons division.
Anti-animal?
Yes.
That's horrible.
A mission statement for the anti-animal bioweapons was put forward And this is it. To establish and pursue a program to research and develop anti-animal bioweapon agents. That's what they want to do there. By August 1954, animals occupied holding areas at Plum Island and research was ongoing within Building 257. This is like the big building there, like the infamous building on the island. The work continued on biological warfare research until the U.S. program was ended by Richard Nixon? Richard Nixon stopped it? What?
didn't like it.
I like the animals. They're fluffy. Stop testing on them, please. This was in 1969. The bioweapons research at Building 257 in Fort Terry was a complete mystery. The existence of these kinds of experiments on Plum Island during the Cold War era was denied for decades by the U.S. This was until 1993. Newsday unearthed documents proving the opposite, and in 1994, Russian scientists inspected Plum Island research facility to verify that these experiments indeed ended. So they're not doing it anymore, at least in the 90s when the Russians were looking. But they didn't go to the lower levels, apparently.
They didn't check the lower levels?
They weren't allowed in the lower levels.
So why were they allowed to check it all then?
I don't know.
Why let them check it all if you're not going to let them check part of it? That's basically saying, okay, it's not in this part, but it's in the other part.
So here is another thing that's linked to Plum Island. That's pretty crazy. Back in 1975, there was an outbreak of a certain disease in a certain place in Connecticut, just a few miles off of Plum Island. The name of the place in Connecticut would end up being the name of the disease itself. Lyme disease. Lyme, Connecticut was the place. Lyme disease is the name of the full syndrome caused by the tick-borne bacteria. So they were, of course, it was around before then, but they were doing a ton of experiments on Plum Island using ticks and the bacteria that they carry. And they were like, no, it can't get off the island. We kill all the animals that we do experiments on. But they weren't accounting for the birds that come to the island and fly to the mainland.
Those fools! Simple fools.
So they didn't know if it actually... They couldn't say for sure if it came from Plum Island, but that was the hypothesis. It's a pretty good one. And there was another incident at another similar lab at Texas A&M. They were testing other bacteria from tick-borne diseases. And there was another outbreak in the area as well in Texas, and that place got promptly shut down, and it was run by the same people. So... I don't know if it got shut down because it was in like a metro area, not on an island, or I don't know. It was shut down.
That's crazy.
Plum Island continues to run, and it is also a possible target for terrorism.
What? From who?
Pakistani Aifia Siddiqui, a neuroscientist, a suspected Al-Qaeda member, was arrested in Afghanistan in July 2008. She had in her handbag a handwritten note referring to a mass casualty attack that listed various U.S. locations, including the Plum Island Animal Disease Center. In February 2010, she was convicted of assault with a deadly weapon and attempting to kill U.S. soldiers and FBI agents who were seeking to interrogate her. So she just had it on a list, but then,
you know, there's a reason it's on the fucking list.
That's true. That's true.
It's not just on the list for fun.
No, that's true. It's on the list for a reason. So I have a special presentation. I have
a song.
No song. I have a little darling, not Alex Jones, a better person than Alex Jones. Mr. Jesse Ventura.
Oh, yay!
And he is confronting a congressman, I believe, that is allowing Plum Island to be in New York. So, let me make sure this is here. Jesse the Body Ventura, folks. Fuck Alex Jones, we got Jesse. Where's the speaker?
Next stop, Washington, D.C. I paid a visit to Congressman Tim Bishop. If there's anyone who'd know what's going on at Plum Island, this is the guy. Plum Island's in his district. He was a little surprised to see me, but at least he had the guts to talk to me. Not like some of these guys.
Not like some of these guys.
There, Plum Island. I got chased around by the Coast Guard. I got chased around and shadowed by Homeland Security. Does that island concern you?
Well, I think there was a period of time where I was very concerned because I felt that there was not a sufficient investment in securing the island. And so part of what you encountered, I think, was an increased level of security for the island.
None of the fishing boats would take us out there because of fear of retribution from Homeland Security, which I found horrible.
Well,
that Homeland Security rules by threats.
I have to tell you.
Rules by intimidation.
I have to tell you, I have never heard any suggestion of threat or intimidation. I just have not. And,
well,
and like
I'm
I said,
giving
we...
you your first one, then. What concerned me the most about it was when I read the history of it, and I saw who the godfather is of Plum Island, Eric Traub, who was a Nazi right under Himmler that many people think probably should have stood trial at Nuremberg, but his expertise is attempting
the
to create biological warfare using ticks and mosquitoes to spread them. That doesn't bother you that this guy came there? And
if that was what was going on there, if I was convinced that that was what was going on there, that would bother me. But I don't believe that that's what's going on there.
So you're comfortable and don't believe in the conspiracy that Lyme disease originated there because it started in Lyme, Connecticut, which is right across the water?
I do not accept that.
You don't accept that?
I do not.
What accomplishments have they got out of there?
Well, they, you know, they have... conducted research that has
but, I mean,
us.
What is it? What has been achieved? I've heard nothing. Are you angry that there's the possibility it could move to Kansas?
Are you
I wouldn't
angry?
Use the word angry. I am troubled by that. And in fact, I have been working to try to keep the facility open in on Plum Island.
Aren't you concerned, though, that if something could go wrong at this place and what the results of it could be?
Plum Island is... so-called zoonotic diseases are not studied at Plum Island. Diseases that are animal-borne that can spread to humans. The only diseases that are studied at Plum Island are animal-borne diseases that do not spread.
And you know this absolutely.
Absolutely.
I accept what I've been told. Okay.
You accept it. You accept what your government tells you.
I guess that's the difference between him and me. I don't just accept what I've been doing.
See, I knew what he was going to say.
Oh, I
didn't even watch this part yet. Anyway. I don't accept what my government says. I can't accept it.
Oh, my God.
That's the difference between him and me.
I'm, like, very scared now.
I won't accept it. Oh, you want to know what's scary?
Yes.
Is... They're not just on the East Coast.
They're over here?
I have KTLA video of a Montauk monster on Seal Beach.
No. Let me see.
I have it right here. It's coming.
The carcass of a mysterious creature has washed up ashore at Seal Beach. The animal has sharp teeth, but no hair, and no one knows exactly what it is. KTLA's Olga Espina shows us the pictures from Seal Beach.
Like a little beast, like some little scary little monster type thing out of a story.
There it is.
What is this thing? Karen Summers stumbled upon this monstrous-looking creature during her walk along the shore of Seal Beach Wednesday night.
There were no eyes. The mouth was had enormous teeth underneath.
Enormous
teeth.
Government can't hide teeth like that.
It has no ears. And look at the feet. The toes or the nails on it are long and pointy. Public Works came out. They found the creature near the shore. They buried it. They said it looked like some kind of possum, but even they're not sure exactly what this thing was. Karen warned beachgoers.
I said, hey, there's some type of little beastly thing on the beach. Near it. And he came up and he said, oh, wow, that looks like the Montauk monster.
She did some research on the so-called Montauk monster, which has reportedly washed up on the shores off the East Coast. And she says there are definite similarities.
It just looked fierce. Like, I'm sure the surfers would not want to be bit by this thing.
So is it a monster? or the carcass of a dog, a raccoon, an opossum. No one really seems to know. The ocean is full of mysteries. And now that it's been buried, it appears this thing will remain one as well.
One thing's so not a mystery.
Creepy.
One thing's not a mystery. You can't trust our government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's really creepy? Is that's the news anchor I grew up, like, seeing, because that's, you know, the area of my hometown.
Oh, yeah. I like KTLA 5.
Yeah.
We don't get it down in Mexico now since I'm off the grid.
I'm not good at improv.
I can only improv if I'm Jesse Ventura. I have a big indoor grow of marijuana. I have medical marijuana. I have Parkinson's degrees. I have Parkinson's disease, and it helps me with my Parkinson's disease.
Oh my God!
And I have an indoor grow. You can't do that in America.
An indoor grow?
Yeah, I grow it inside.
Oh my God!
Because you can't grow it outside. I'm in the desert. Off the grid.
Off the grid.
Yeah. And then now in America, they want to tax it. And you can't grow it unless they, because they want to tax it even if you grow your own.
And your own got to tax it.
Yeah. I have to move my head when I talk. Or else you don't think I mean it. I love that guy.
We have his conspiracy theory book.
Yep. I don't usually agree with too many libertarians, but he's very funny.
He's very funny. I enjoy his rhetoric. I don't know what I'm saying.
But yeah, that's Plum Island. What do you think? What, I know there's a lot of levels. What parts do you agree with? Don't kind of.
I agree. Okay, like if there was 5 levels.
No, I'm saying like the Montauk Monster, what do you think about it? The Lyme disease part, what do you think about it?
Oh, okay. So Montauk Monster, that is definitely like a dog or something. It's not like, you know, some insane.
You think it maybe it just lost its hair like rubbing on the sand or like something
it
like
probably,
that?
Probably because it was in the ocean.
Yeah.
I don't know, probably like...
I'm sure when you
bloated and shit.
I'm not sure, but I think when you decompose, your hair starts to fall out. Like, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Probably rubbing on the sand and the rocks.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And, I mean, there's so many things it could be. A pig. Some, a lot of those look like pigs.
Some angles it looks like a pig, and then some, like, it's hard to tell from angles.
But, I mean, lots of shit washes up on the beach, you know? Whatever. Yeah. But, okay, so Lyme disease, yes. Believe.
That sounds pretty
plausible.
Our
government it's been proven that it has tested on us.
Yeah, I mean, so, it dumped DDT all over California, and children are playing in DDT.
Yeah, so this has been proven. We are not being crazy right now. So fully believe that they tested Lyme disease and they got into our shit.
And I am not some anti-vaxxer, anti-GMO person.
No.
I'm just saying that the government has done some fucked up shit.
The government has done stuff to us that you would not want.
Yeah. So, yeah, what about the Nazi connections? That sounds...
I mean, there's...
Operation Paperclip is
Operation
definitely real.
Operation Paperclip, yeah.
Pebble Club.
Operation Paperclip is definitely real. There's definitely been many Nazi hands and things that have furthered the world.
Yeah, that's why we went to the moon.
Yeah.
If we did. No, we did.
Yeah. We went to the moon.
But they won't tell us about the monsters that are there.
The cheese monsters.
And the lizard monsters.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't believe it in, like, the full crazy evil scientist way, but I believe he was involved. I think this is more not, like, crazy evil scientist, more like big, stupid American government trying to make big, stupid weapons on little island overflow hurt country.
Yeah, well, the guy was definitely a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He worked with fucking Nazis.
No, I'm not...
No, I'm not saying you didn't say that. I'm just saying...
Like, I know he's a total piece of shit, but it's not like people imagine, like, when the Nazis came to America to work on, you know... our science, like...
We're definitely to blame.
That he was like, ooh, I'm in the lab with chemicals. No. Like, he's... what?
America took his papers, too, and we're like, hey, we're gonna do some evil, too.
Yeah. But, no, I'm just saying, like, it wasn't, like, some mythical, you know, like, ooh,
No.
Like... it was probably just like, you're going to use all that bad things that you did, and you're going to make it work for us.
Yes. Yeah, same shit, different boss.
Different country. Yeah, but I just think that the island is probably mostly like just America being stupid about something.
There's just always... like,
oops, I knocked over the jar of ticks. All of Lyme, Connecticut has this disease. Like... I don't think they were intentionally meaning to, like, harm people.
Just imagine them knocking over a jar of ticks, and it's just a pigeon just covered in 100 ticks. 100 ticks just lands in Connecticut.
That's exactly how it happened. I don't know. But, like, the truth is always in the middle of the stories that get told.
Yes, definitely.
It's always in the middle. Well, thank you so much for listening. That was fun.
Yes, it was great.
Yeah. So go look up a Fiji mermaid. Yeah. Be disgusted.
Don't go to Plum Island unless you want your fingers to grow.
And you want no one to have taken a picture of you or any medical evidence of you before you're dead.
Yeah. So, yeah. Check out our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
All of those things. So we'll see you on the other side.
And you better praise Godzilla from off the grid.
Praise Godzilla. Praise Godzilla. Praise him.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. All right. Bye-bye, guys.
See what movie's playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website. Just add that .com. Catch us on Twitter at SFDFDI Podcast.